We begin in Carrboro, where folks are still processing the news that Mayor Damon Siles has announced he will not seek re-election as mayor in the fall election this year. He's generally considered a very popular mayor. He was elected on 90% of the vote and has been mayor for only one term. He has been in the town council for nearly a decade. He says he wants to return to focusing on his personal and professional lives. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more reflecting on Damon Siles' tenure as mayor.
Part of what we have to do, especially in a region like the Triangle, is embrace the change that all of these growth pressures are bringing upon us and think about what the next 20, 30 years mean for a little town like Carrboro in this larger region.
That was part of Damon Siles' first interview as mayor-elect for Carrboro. The message on election night is similar to what he's shared through many years serving on the town council and his 2 years as mayor, which will come to an end this winter. Siles joined the Carrboro Town Council in April 2013 via a special election, before being re-elected for a full four-year term in 2015. He earned re-election in 2019 as well, cutting his term short to run for mayor in 2021. In that cycle, to replace the outgoing Lydia Lavelle, Siles earned more than 90% of the vote, and his town council seat was later filled by Eleazar Posada. As part of Siles' statement Wednesday, the outgoing mayor wrote about his pride and excitement about what the town of Carrboro has accomplished during his decade as an elected official. Siles specifically mentioned the achievements in recent years. Beyond the local response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the local government hired a new town manager in 2021 and gathered input to inform and adopt a new comprehensive plan in 2022. Siles also pointed to the work to strengthen the town's relationship with Chapel Hill Transit, increase the government's activity in advancing racial equity, and reimagining the role of public safety. He wrote in his statement, quote, "On these issues and many others, work remains to be done. In the 7 months left in my term as mayor, I will be working hard with my colleagues to address these challenges and continuing to represent Carrboro well in the region." On election night in 2021, Siles credited his predecessors for helping prepare him for the road ahead. As we get closer to December, it seems likely he will return the favor. We'll have months to see who that may be, but the outgoing mayor wrote, quote, "There are many skilled leaders in our community, and I'm excited to see who all steps up next." Election day for Carrboro and our other town governments is set for November 7th. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. In state news, the state house signed off yesterday on a controversial bill that would require transgender students to compete in accordance with their biologically assigned sex. This affects middle school, high school, and college sports athletes. That bill passed with a veto-proof majority. The state Senate passed a similar bill earlier this year that did not include college sports in its language. Also in Raleigh, a state Senate committee signed off yesterday on a bill that would transfer more power from the governor to the Republican-controlled state legislature, and this involves choosing community college board members. Five former governors representing both parties issued a statement this week denouncing the bill as unconstitutional. Still at the state house, no movement this week on a bill that would legalize medical marijuana in the state, though the Senate passed it earlier this year. With the latest on that bill, here's Carolina Connections, Henry Taylor.
The door to cannabis dispensary in Carrboro can be a bit difficult to find. Located between a cigar store and a variety shop, the small storefront is one place that sells hemp-derived CBD and THC products.
I take my CBD every single day, twice a day, and it's been such a game-changer in managing like my anxiety and helping me sleep well at night.
That's Madison Tart, the director of Cannabis and a UNC graduate. She showed off some of the store's Delta 8 THC and CBD products in the form of smokable flower, tinctures, and gummies. The items may look similar to medical marijuana products that are illegal in North Carolina, but they use different chemicals.
Probably our most popular product by far are going to be a Delta 8 gummy like this here.
Hemp-derived products are legal if they have less than 3% Delta 9 THC, the psychoactive substance found in traditional marijuana. The products at Cannabis instead contain CBD, which has no psychoactive effects and is used to treat ailments like inflammation. many products also contain Delta-8 THC, which is psychoactive and unregulated by the FDA. In fact, the agency warns potential users that the effects of Delta-8 are not fully understood and pose serious health risks. Still, Tarte has heard plenty of stories from people who use it for their health.
We get a lot of people who are arthritic or who, you know, suffer from just chronic physical pain. We have a lot of guests who are looking to improve quality of life who may be, like, suffering from cancer, things like that.
The legislation that the Senate passed is North Carolina's most recent attempt to legalize medical marijuana, which is FDA regulated. UNC School of Government professor Phil Dixon says North Carolina's proposed law would be similar to other states.
You have to meet a qualifying condition and get a prescription from your doctor, and only with that will you be allowed to possess or use medical cannabis.
North Carolina's proposed list of ailments is focused on debilitating or life-threatening conditions, excluding those like mental health issues and chronic pain. Dixon says current legal limits on marijuana would still apply.
It'll be regulated so that, you know, you can't just smoke it anywhere. You can't smoke it in your car while you're driving. You'd still be subject to driving while impaired laws.
Despite potential hurdles, one analyst predicts it's inevitable that North Carolina will eventually legalize medical marijuana.
There are 37 states that have done it now, and it will happen. Just a question of when.
That's Pat Oglesby, the founder of the Center for New Revenue, a nonprofit organization that helps states increase tax proceeds. He's pushed for medical marijuana in multiple states, including North Carolina. He says North Carolina's legislation is unusual because medical marijuana distribution will be controlled by a limited number of private companies.
The Senate bill allows only 10 companies to grow, and these are going to be huge, wealthy, well-capitalized companies that have a seed-to-sale operation. Licenses are going to be worth millions and millions of dollars.
Because of this, smaller dispensaries like Cannabliss would have to stick to their current inventory of CBD and Delta-8 products, as larger companies open medical card-accepting storefronts. As these potential changes loom, Tarte says that her company's goal remains the same.
You know, we're just so glad to be able to help people, like, move a little easier through the world.
For now, the legislation has a long way to go, as the House has killed similar bills in the past. The current proposal has been stuck in the House committee for weeks. In Chapel Hill, I'm Henry Taylor.
That story produced for Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussmann School of Journalism and Media. Their full programs air Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on 97.9 The Hill. Finally, now an update on the redevelopment at University Place. If you've driven by lately, you've noticed the demolition phase of the project well underway. It is about to wrap up now, and we've had a front seat view for it here at the Trinzicora Studios of 97.9 The Hill. If you may have noticed that close to a third of the mall building has been removed by contractors, and that stops just short of our location here at University Place. You can read more details on what comes next, as well as find some pictures by visiting chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, and we will start the sports conversation today with a little bit of talk of the lacrosse team. They're in action tonight. They actually are set to get started here at about 9 minutes, and they'll be at Duke. That game will be broadcast on ESPNU if you're not going to make the trip up to Durham to see it. UNC 11-3 on the year, which is a fantastic record, but we are kind of used to seeing that women's lacrosse team be undefeated. So 6-2 in ACC play, still pretty strong. Duke 1-6 in conference action, so we'll see how this one plays out, but the Heels should be able to handle the Blue Devils. UNC softball team got a big win last night. They were 5-1 winners over Campbell. That is 7 out of 8 games with a victory now for the women's softball team. They'll put that on the line with a tough matchup on the road at NC State tomorrow night. Over to the other Diamond now, where the Diamond Heels are back in action this weekend. They've got a matchup against Boston College at home. That will be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. Diamond Heels have dealt with a lot of bad weather this year, and Friday looks good, but we might have another delay on Saturday. Here's an optimistic head coach, Scott Forbes.
You know, this week is we're finally back to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that helps us. It's not that I don't like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just for us, it got messed up with doubleheaders left and right, you know, the doubleheader Notre Dame, then doubleheader for Georgia Tech, and then we got rain. So kind of a doubleheader with an 11-inning game. So I'm thankful that we have a normal week, and I'm excited for our guys that they had this normal week here at the Bosch with looks like beautiful weather.
It's an optimistic Scott Forbes there looking at the weather forecast for this weekend. Again, that series against Boston College will be out at the Bosch Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday night's game starts at 6 o'clock. You can hear that action right here on 97.9 The Hill, your flagship station for UNC sports. Also got some transfer portal news. First, on the football side, UNC defensive back Don Chapman has entered the transfer portal as a graduate student for his final year of eligibility. Chapman played in 43 games in 4 seasons with the Tar Heels. He started 20 of those games. On the basketball side, we learned the destination for UNC transfer Will Shaver. He'll be suiting up for Belmont next season. You can keep up to date with all the latest in the transfer portal by visiting the sports section of chapelboro.com.